Okay, so last time we took a sort of more bit deeper look at loss systems, and so we defined sort of we gave multiple definitions for congestion, time congestion, traffic congestion, call congestion, and which gave us sort of different viewpoints of how blocking impacted the system and the users of the system. And we looked at this, well, we returned to our Erlang system, so if we assume we have Poisson arrivals, and then we looked at our Engset system, where the arrivals were not Poisson. Then we did a little bit examining trade-off between the cost of providing lines and the cost of lost traffic. Okay. And when we were looking at that, we said, well, part of where you put that ratio of, you know, how important one portion is to another is based on whether you have the option of overflow or not. Okay, so what we're going to look at today is overflow systems. So you have your primary system, and traffic can be blocked or from the primary system, but instead of lost traffic from the primary system being, or blocked traffic from the primary system being lost, it'll be routed to some sort of overflow system, and then again it gets a second chance at that getting resources. Okay, so again, before what we considered was just once the traffic was blocked, that was it. It just was lost. It went away. So now, in some cases, we can route our blocked calls to a secondary or backup system or set of channels, and the rerouted calls we refer to as overflow traffic. So they don't get in to the primary system, but they do then get access to a secondary system. Okay, so in networks we have the idea of a hierarchical network. So you might think of it in a cellular system, you have your basic cells, but it is possible that sort of covering the range of multiple cells, you might have, again, some sort of backup system. It might and so what you get, again, are primary groups of traffic and then overflow traffic, which is routed into some other transmission system. Now we're going to assume that, again, the secondary system has a finite number of channels, and that's your only chance. If you get further rejected from that, then you are lost. Okay. So, the question obviously then becomes: can we characterize this portion of the system? And from that, can we try and calculate, generally, what's the probability of blocking up from both the primary and secondary systems? Okay, so again, a typical setup is one in which you have a number of primary groups overflowing into a single secondary group. What we're going to start out with is simplifying that problem somewhat than considering a single primary and a single secondary. And you know, then we'll see how the results we derive for that sort of setup can be expanded to something with multiple primaries. Okay. So why does this become at all complicated? It becomes complicated because our overflow traffic is not Poisson. So we can't just apply the same analysis to this secondary or overflow traffic. Why isn't it Poisson? Well, it's not Poisson because obviously it's correlated to the state of the primaries. Okay. Because you only move on when your primary groups, when your primary resources are all occupied. Okay. So like I said, we're going to start looking at a single primary and a single secondary. So we have our offered load, and again, for the moment, we're going to assume that that load is Poisson. There's n channels to deal in the primary group to deal with that, and that will carry a certain amount of traffic. If the load, if the, all of the primary channels are occupied, you'll have overflow, which will be sent to a secondary group. There will be L channels in the secondary to deal with the traffic. And so, again, a certain amount of the traffic will be carried, and a certain proportion will be lost then. Okay, so in order to fully understand this secondary group, we're going to have to, in some way, characterize the overflow traffic. Okay, and so, and from that, we can examine sort of properties of the secondary group. And as we said, that overflow traffic is not going to be Poisson. Okay, so again, we'll let A be the offered load to the system, which goes first to the primary group of N channels. Okay, and if it can't be served within the primary group, it's routed onto the secondary group of L channels. And the traffic, then the overflow from the primary, which is the input to the secondary, is not Poisson. Okay. So, as it turns out, we can solve we could actually solve this system completely, but it's complicated, so what we're going to do is we're going to look at a simplification of this system, and again, the first thing we're going to try and tackle is what's the characterization of this offered load. Okay. So we're going to go back to our definition of offered load for a lossy system, which is that the offered load is the mean number of busy servers in the lossless version of the system under steady. Okay. So if you actually had enough servers, an infinite number of servers, then you'd be able to essentially observe everything, can completely characterize everything about the traffic entering. If you observed the state of the system, you'd be completely characterizing the traffic entering the system. Okay. So these results were formulated by a guy called Costin about 50 or 60 years ago, so they're not new results. And again, the way he characterized the system was by the way he again attempted to analyze the represent the overflow traffic was by considering. Everybody's going to the Panto today, so it's great excitement outside. But anyway, so you're characterizing the offered load by replacing our finite system with our finite number of channels with an infinite number of channels. And so, again, we can, the primary group essentially is still your Erlang system, and now we'd like to look at our secondary group. So we know M hat and V hat, or M bar, V bar. What we'd like to look at is M hat and V hat. Now, again, M hat and V hat is, if it doesn't fully characterize the traffic, it's two moments of the full distribution. Again, we could think of a full distribution, and this is the first two moments. But again, a lot of times we consider that to be an acceptable approximation of our system. It's possible, again, to view the full system as a two-dimensional Markov chain. So the state of the primary and then crossed with the state of the secondary, and you can fully characterize the distributions. But that's difficult. But again, Costin will have will offer us analytical solutions for the mean and the variance of the offered load. Okay, so this is already, if we look at just the mean and variance, we're coming up with an approximation of our original system. Okay. So again, to fully analyze the system, what we can do is observe that it is a two-dimensional Markov chain where the components of the state are the components of the primary system and then the components of our secondary system. Okay. And so the primary system is our original finite queue. So n servers, n places. And then the other dimension represents an infinite queue. And again, once you're in state n of the primary group, you're feeding into your secondary group. Okay. So, again, we can fully solve out our probability distribution for the states. But, again, this is a bit on the sort of difficult side to do. Okay. But we'll just denote our probability of being in a state as Pij, so where I is the state of the primary system in this primary system, and J is the state in the secondary system. Okay. And so what we'd expect, again, if you took the marginal distributions, so Pi is going to give you the distributions we saw before for the Erlang system. Pj is the distributions that we want to get at, okay, the distributions for this overflow system, okay, and again, it's the lossless version of the overflow system that we're looking at the moment. Okay, so I'm sure you'll all be relieved to know we're not actually going to solve for Pi and Pj. Again, we note that the marginal distribution for the Pi's just gives us our truncated Poisson distribution. And again, we've looked at all that before. What we're interested in is what's the distribution for Pj. Okay. And this is, again, complicated to resolve, mainly because there's a correlation between the state of the primary group and the state of the secondary group. So you can't look at it in isolation. You can look at the primary group in isolation. You can just assume that the secondary doesn't exist, and you know what's fully going on in the primary, except, of course, that the overflow is going off somewhere, but that's not a concern for the primary group. Obviously, for the secondary group, it is. So to solve for the secondary group, you're having to examine the full state space. Okay. So again, this was done by Kostin. And one of the handy results that falls out of that is that if you actually solve for Pj, then obviously you can find the mean and the variance of your system. Okay. And so again, we've said that mean and variance gives us a reasonable approximation of our system. It doesn't give us the full distribution. There's an infinite number of different distributions which would give you the same mean and variance. But you could argue they all have a certain similarity in terms of shape. Okay. So, again, these mean and variance are referred to as Kostin's equations. And again, that characterizes the overflow traffic for our system. Okay, so one thing to note is that the peakedness for this traffic is always greater than 1. So again, it's not as well. If you have Poisson arrivals, then the peakedness is 1. The mean and variance are the same. In this case, we have a peakedness greater than 1. That means our traffic is not as well behaved. And in general, it would experience a greater blocking probability than Poisson with the same mean. Okay, So that gives us our offered load to the system. You could, if you wished, again get the complete distribution. It's possible to solve out for these PJs. Again, we're not doing it here, but it's possible to solve out for these PJs and get the full characterization of the carried load. So the remaining questions then about this system become, for the entire, that's infinite group. So the questions you can ask are things like, well, what's the traffic lost from the system, and what's the overall carried traffic from the system? Okay. So again, we know we've already performed analysis on the primary group. We know its characteristics. Again, we know the full distribution, and that's a function of the offered load. We can derive the mean and variance for that distribution. So, again, our mean, m hat, is the offered load times 1 minus the blocking probability. Okay, and that makes sense. You either carry the traffic or you block it. What's the probability of carrying the traffic? It's 1 minus your blocking probability. Okay, so what's the proportion of traffic carried? It's A times the probability that you carry it. Okay. So intuitively, that one makes sense. Okay. The variance can also be derived. There's probably some intuition about it, but I don't know. I don't know what it would be. Again, this is the peakedness for this now is less than 1. So it's, the traffic is smoother than a Poisson with no loss. Okay. So, considering the whole system, we can note that there's a conservation of average flows, which just says that the offered traffic it breaks out as carried traffic and overflow traffic. And so the means have to sum to A. The variances don't sum to A. Okay. And so, again, that's an indication that your traffic is not Poisson. Okay, if it was Poisson, they would sum. Okay, as well, not Poisson, and then there is a correlation between the traffic streams. Okay. If there was, actually, it's the correlation that does it, and if there's no correlation, you will get the sum. Okay. So we will use later in the lecture the fact that if there is no correlation, then you get the variance of the aggregate system as the sum of the variances of the individual stream. Okay, so where are we then with all this? We now would like to say something about our original system. So what we've done so far is, again, we know what M bar and V bar are. Again, the way intuitively you can look at this portion of the system independently of the second portion of the system. And so it's this portion is just acting like our Erlang system. We've now characterized our overflow traffic, and we're not considering the full characterization, we're not considering the full distribution on the overflow traffic, but we've given the mean and the variance of the offered load. Okay. And so what we'd probably like to know is how much of the traffic are we losing? Okay. And so in order to determine that, we just make the quite simple observation about the system. And if we look at the primary and secondary together, then we can view that as a combined system with N plus L channels. Okay, so so we have our original system, M bar and G bar out. We've got overflow, M hat, V hat, and that goes into L. And again, there's some exit from that. M hat of L, V hat of L. And then our bar, we have finally our loss, M hat of L, V hat of L. Well, that's, at least in terms of determining just the loss, is the same as looking at a combined system of N plus L channels. And, you know, if you think about it, that is exactly what happens. An arrival, essentially, the arrivals can't distinguish where they're being sent. Okay, so they're just being sent to one or the other of these. Okay, and they will fill up until they can't fill anymore. Okay. So, how do we characterize the overflow then from the entire system? We just again use Costin's system. We say we're now offering our load to N plus L channels. And again, Costin has told us how we characterize the overflow for that system. Okay. So you get M hat now calculated on N plus L channels, V hat calculated on N plus L channels. Okay. So we could, again, in theory, determine the full distribution for this. You could look at the full distribution of the full system and then truncate it to your finite number of channels. Using our average loss, we can also determine our blocking probability, which is just going to be the ratio of the lost packets to the offered load. So the blocking probability will be M hat over L. M hat of L over A. Okay. So that's sort of gets us to where we want to go. Okay. So, again, that gives us a good, although approximate, characterization of a single primary plus a single secondary. Assuming, now, again, that we start out with a Poisson distribution, that our offered load is Poisson. So there turns out that there's one more trick that we can sort of extract out of this set of results, and that's what happens now if the offered load is not Poisson. Okay. And the last thing you want to do is try and solve all those equations for a non-Poisson load. But what we can do is use a modeling trick. Move to the picture first, which is to say, well, so our load, our traffic is not Poisson, so it has some mean invariance. And by what we observed before, we can say that we should in some way be able to generate this traffic as the overflow of a Poisson system. So our Poisson system gives us overflow with some mean invariance. Okay, so now we reverse the process and ask, if we have some mean invariance, what characteristics of the Poisson system would give us that for an overflow? Okay. So this allows us to extend the range of systems that we can look at to things that aren't Poisson. And you know, the last example, see, at least a very simple system, why that's interesting. Okay. So, if we can solve somehow for A star and N star, then we can use Costin to find the overflow of the system. Okay, so again, we've taken what was initially our single system with some input characteristics, and we've made that into the secondary system of some Poisson system, and then again, we know if we have that sort of system, how to solve, characterize our overflow traffic. Okay, so overflow for the entire system. Again, so we start out with M and V, is the traffic that's going into our system, and then I'll call it that has the N channels, but we've now added on top of it that this is the overflow of some Poisson system. And so again, we use Costin to we've already used Costin to characterize that overflow. Okay, so this is called the equivalent random method or the moment matching method, for the obvious reason that what we're trying to do is not fully characterize our initial traffic, but match it according to the moment and the variance. The mean and the variance. So our first two moments. Okay, so obviously in order to do that, we need to be able to find N star and A star. And so obviously we can write our mean and variance in terms of A star and N star. Using Costin's equations. Okay. So that's Costin's equations applied to viewing this as the primary group. And so we have two equations, two unknowns. We know M and V, so they're not, and at least in theory, we can solve for that. Okay. So, equation 2 is relatively straightforward, and it doesn't have our Erlang function in it. So we can characterize N star as a function of A star. We can then plug that in up above. And so when you do plug in up above, well, what you're going to essentially do is you're going to get a polynomial in A, a very complex polynomial in A. Okay. If you want to solve that, then you're trying to find roots, and so there's lots of numerical methods that allow you to find roots. Again, fortunately for us, we're not going to solve that. There are approximations to these values, referred to as Rapp's approximation. Okay. And so Z is our peakedness, so V is our variance over the mean, and there's values, you can find a value for A. Rapp's approximation is essentially this value for A. And then you just plug it back into your second equation, to get a value for N. Okay, so you either... Again, what we'll be doing is always say, okay, well, the approximation's good enough, or you can use that to improve your numerical search for an actual answer. Okay, so the one complication of this method is that N star can now take on any real value. Okay, so before we've been assuming that N's are integers. Obviously, if you have a channel, you don't have a fraction of a channel. Now, we allow them to take on integer values. Real values. Okay. So we'll look at a couple ways of dealing with this. One numerical or one, mainly analytical. And the other option is just to look at the curves and interpolate between curves. Okay, so again, what's all this work gotten us? It's gotten us this system where, again, we assume that now our traffic source is generated by Poisson with an offered load of A star and N star channels. That gives us, again, our offered load into the real system. And then, again, if you combine the virtual system with the actual system, then you get this, the equivalent system that we saw before when we were looking at our analysis of overflow systems. Okay, so we've taken a system that was not an overflow system to begin with and modeled it as an overflow system. Okay, so again, the overflow system now has N star plus N channels. And so we can use Costin's equations to characterize the overflow, or in this case, the overflow is the loss, the overflow or loss traffic from our system. Okay, and again, our blocking is just the ratio of the lost traffic over the total traffic. Okay, so this obviously can only be used to characterize peaked loads because that's what you get out of Costin's original equation, so there's no way, if it's not peaked, if it's smooth, then there's no way you can actually, there's no values for A star and N star that'll give you that load. There are other methods that can be used to represent smooth traffic, and again, what you end up having to do is you extend the Erlang B formula to allow for negative values of N and essentially proceed in a similar way. But again, it's another layer of complication. So we'll stick with assuming that we have peaked traffic. Okay, so that's the theory. We'll look at one example of how this can be used. Okay, so now we have two primary groups with 10 channels each. And each of these is offered a load of 7 Erlang. Okay, and overflow from these systems will go into a secondary group of 5 channels. And so we want to know what the blocking probability is for the system. Okay. So, what we're going to need to do is, again, have some way of characterizing the offered load to our secondary system, and then the determine what the overflow is from that. We're going to start by using equivalent random theory to find, to characterize the load into our secondary system. Okay. So, again, we're going to need the mean and the variance for our traffic into our secondary, and we can extract that by looking at our primaries, okay, and using then Kostin's equations. Okay. So if you have an offered load of 7 going into 10 channels, then we know what the mean and the variance, Kostin gives us what the mean and the variance are for the overflow from that system. Now we have 2 of these. Okay. So, again, in order to do that, you need to find a value for E, for our Erlang B equation, and you can just read that off of the chart, and you'll get approximately 0.08. Plug that in, and you'll get values for the mean and the variance. Okay, so this is non-Poisson traffic, but we know a mean and a variance. Now, the 2 primaries we assume to be independent of each other. If they're independent, then we can sum their mean and variance to get the combined characterization of the traffic flow. Okay. So they're both the same. So you have 2 of the mean. You have 2 times your mean for 1 and 2 times your variance for the other. Okay. Okay. So now we've got, this system where we have a mean and a variance. We have an offered load, which is non-Poisson, but we know what the mean and the variance of it is. So we can use our equivalent random theory. We now want to ask what A star and N star will give us that mean and variance.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll use Rapp's approximation to decide that. Again, we're not going to go to any sort of numerical solutions. So we have the mean, the variance. You get the peakedness from the mean and variance. So you can determine values for A star and N star. Okay. And then once you have the A star and the N star, you look at the equivalent system where you have your five channels from the secondary plus N star channels representing the offered load as an overflow. Okay. So, again, we have some non-integer number of channels and an offered load of, just like whatever the calculated value was. Okay, so there's a couple of ways that we can, again, we'll have to, now once we have that equivalent system, we can determine what the overflow is for that equivalent system, again using Costin. Not using Costin, just using the Erlang B charts. Okay. So again, you can just interpolate to get the blocking probability. You can just interpolate for the equivalent system. We're between 14 and 15, and we've got an offered load of 7. 0.99, and so you can interpolate from the chart. Okay. So doing that, we would get a blocking probability of about 0.012. Okay. So having the blocking probability, we can determine what the mean of the overflow traffic will be. It's just our offered load A star times the blocking probability, and then the overall complete system blocking probability, then we have to go back to what our original offered load was, which is 14, and so we know the portion that was blocked. So you divide your overflow by the original offered load. And get that value. Okay. So the last thing that we'll just tidy up slightly is a numerical method for calculating our Erlang function. And again, the reason you need this is because your charts are only going to go up to a certain size, and beyond that, well, you're sort of out of luck. So it turns out that you can solve the Erlang B solution iteratively. And here we look at 1 over our Airlon solution. You'll get won over for the certain numerical reasons that we won't get into. But you can see that you can write your solution in terms of EXA, in terms of EX minus 1A, okay? Which means that you can start at some point and then, again, iteratively calculate X plus 1, X plus 2, X plus 3, etc. Okay, so that works for our integer x's. Okay. And so, again, it's better to do it as 1 over than the actual value because of calculational computer rounding reasons. Okay, so we can use that to extend it to real values by using Zubicki's approximation. And what Zubicki does is gives you a value, an approximate value for our Airlon formula for n, any real n between 0 and 2. So what that's going to do is give us the fractional part, and then once we can get up from the fractional part to start incrementing. Okay. This is only useful, it only holds for small values of n, so you can't just plug it in. Again, what we're looking for is solving for large values of n, but we can use this as the starting point for our iteration. Okay, so we have a fraction, for whatever n we're trying to calculate, there's a fractional part and then an integer part, obviously. And so instead of starting at 0 channels, we can start at our fractional value. Okay, and so if you just start at something between 0 and 1 now, you just use Zubicki, and then iterate, and once you found that, iterate from that point on. Okay, and so again, that's a way where that gives you a way of calculating any value. Okay, so again, I don't think I'll be expecting you to do that on an exam, so you'll be provided with a Airlon B chart and just again do some sort of interpolation. So that's it for the module material. And so that's pretty much it for the lectures. I will just... I did post this morning a quick review, set of review slides, which, again, I don't really propose to go through all of them. A lot of them are just sort of checklists of what's going on in the course. I just want to make a few points about the exam. And so, again, as I stated in the beginning, this I used to co-teach this with Connor McArdle. I did the simulation stuff. He did the analysis stuff, well, more or less. And so the first two questions were on my portion. The second three, the third three were on his portion. That I did one additional topic, and that was the analysis of various protocols, so like medium access control protocols and looking, applying analysis to those sorts of systems. And obviously we didn't do that this year. Okay, so I would strongly suggest you want to look at old exams, but don't panic when you see something that I haven't covered. Okay, well, I probably forgot to unhide the link. I'll put it up anyway. Okay, and like I said, I'm not going to go into great depth here. Just want to, again, make a few points. Okay, so typically anywhere between all and half of question two referred to this protocol analysis. So if you see Aloha, if you see CSMACD, we haven't done that. So polling systems are the other one. So I obviously am not asking a question on that this year. Okay. So what happens this year is question one and part of question two will be devoted to the simulation topics, and then the remainder, so part of question two, then three, four, five, is the queuing and analysis topics. Okay. So, what do you have at your disposal to study? The slides, references, so I've given a number of references sort of in the notes. Connor has produced a very nice set of long-form notes that tie quite closely to his to the queuing form of the queuing portion of the module. All of the lectures were recorded, so they're Camtasia recordings. The assignments do not get directly examined. They'll be marked, and that's where you get marks, but they do illustrate various concepts covered in the course. So it's possible that a concept in the assignments might be examined because it's also a concept in the course. Okay. There are two problem sets. The simulation problem set has solutions posted with it. The analysis problem set, there are no existing solutions, but they're quite similar. The problems are essentially extracted from the notes and collected into one place. So if you go back through the notes, you'll see how that or a very similar problem is solved. Okay. And all of the old exams are posted on the registry website. So, again, I'm not going to go through what all the different topics are. It would just be a laundry list, but the remainder of these slides just talk about what the basic highlights of each of the different lectures was. So, again, that's all I have for you. If you have any questions, again, feel free to email me at any time, or if I'm around, I'll set up an appointment. If I'm not, we can, again, try and sort things out through email. So it's been good lecturing you, and good luck on the exam, and have hopefully find some time to relax over the holidays. So I will see you guys. at the exam.
Just the assignments.